this is just a taste of what's ahead of us for the next few months. Today is a great day. It's the beginning of a great year at Freed Hardeman and in our work here at Henderson. We are so glad that each one of you is here. When you take into consideration that 56 of our teenagers and adults with them are on a retreat this weekend, and that many of the returning students are not here yet, and that we had the auditorium here, I guess at least two-thirds full at the 8 o'clock service, you can appreciate what this audience means at this service. As you are turning to Joshua chapter 1, which will be our text for the morning, let me mention what I believe to be a few pertinent points. On behalf of the elders and the congregation here, I want to say to you first-time students at Freed Hardeman, we are glad that you are here. We are glad that you are in our midst. We look forward to having you on a regular basis, and we're here to help you in any way that we can. We have 10 fine elders. You've seen one of the best song leaders this morning that we have on a regular basis. Gary is one of the finest song leaders in the Brotherhood. We have at least 5 of our 30 deacons that work on the university committee that are constantly looking for ways to involve our university students. And we're just trying to do everything that we can to let you know that we want you here, we're glad you're in our midst, and let you parents know that when you leave your children here, they're in good hands. Judy and I live in the two-story house just behind the church building here on the corner. And we want you students to know that you are welcome at our door day or night if we can help you. Anything except borrow money, just come on anytime. If you need that, call and I'll point you in the right direction. We are so grateful that you are here. During the next several weeks, on Sunday mornings, we're going to be talking about God. Next week's lesson will be one that was announced for this morning, but it's put off for a week, that we're calling 2,000 Cubits Behind God. We're going to bring a lesson on, is God pro-choice? Can God cry? Does God ever laugh? Does God care about little old me? We're going to try to help us to understand God and his love for us in the next few weeks on Sunday mornings. On Sunday nights, for the next 9 lessons that I will bring, we will bring them from 2 Peter 1 on the growth of a Christian. 7 Christian graces, 1 lesson on either side of it. Tonight's lesson will be add to your faith. And if you are where you can come tonight, come and be with us at 6 o'clock. Last year, the first Sunday night that school was open, we had all the students coming in at the same time. We had, I believe, a little over 1,100 people in this auditorium. In fact, we had so many people that we had a blind man here with a big German Shepherd CNI dog, and I had a hard time proving to people that that dog was here. They couldn't find him. But we had 1,114 people and a dog, I think, on Sunday evening last year. And we're looking forward to your being here tonight. When we get everybody here, we have the wiring so that we can overflow into the educational building if necessary. The 8 o'clock service on Sunday morning is still not full. We are trying to make provisions. We want you to know that we're glad you're here. We want you to be a part of us. Come to us and tell us if there's something we can do to help. If you have suggestions of how we can involve the community people and the university people and all be one working, happy family of God, come and tell us those suggestions. We have an eldership that will listen. As long as it's within the boundary of God's word, they'll try to do whatever is best for the people involved. And I appreciate their leadership. This morning, as we stand in a little bit of an unusual position with the beginning of the university school year, I believe some words given in Joshua chapter 1 are especially appropriate and perhaps will help us to put life in proper focus. This took place about 3,500 years ago. The children of Israel, after having been in bondage in Egypt and having come through the wilderness wanderings, were now ready to cross the Jordan River and go into a new phase of life. They were ready to possess the land that had been promised them. And as they were getting ready, now under the leadership of Joshua, we find some suggestions made to them, guidelines given to them that would be extremely important to them. I think there is a sense in which all of us gathered here this morning are not unlike these people who were gathered there at the River Jordan, ready to cross over. Those of you who are new students, just beginning your college education, have finished the years of elementary school and high school, and you are standing, in a sense, ready to cross into a new part of your life. To obtain a college education, to go on into a career, to perhaps during the next few years establish a home and a family of your own, obtain some of the greatest blessings that are available in life. Those of us who live in the community here, who are not students or not associated with the university in any specific way necessarily, are also in a sense standing ready to cross into what I believe to be one of the greatest parts of our work here in Henderson. Brother Oldham mentioned in the announcements at the beginning of the service that we have had a summer hump, and we have. We've had the best summer's work, at least since I've been here. Not only in numbers, but I think especially in enthusiasm and interest on the part of local people. I believe we have come to a point to where there is friendliness and love and expressions of love from all the different segments of the community and the university community and the different types of people than any time that I can remember. And we do have a varied congregation. People of all ages and all backgrounds and all types. We have so many things for which to be thankful. And in a sense, we stand ready to go into what can be one of the greatest parts of our work in the history of the church here at Henderson. We're not unlike these people in Joshua 1. Listen as I read verse 2 and then verses 6 through 11. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through this host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. I don't know that there's anywhere in the entire Bible that we have any better advice given to us that can be applied today than in a statement that is made 4 times in Joshua 1. You heard me read it 3 times at verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9, and if you'll glance at the last part of the last verse, verse 18, you'll see it again. Be strong and of good courage. Today is so important and is a bit different for many of you. Some of you in the audience this morning are going to be away from home for the first time. Some of you parents will be leaving today or tomorrow and leaving that first child behind, or first young lady or young gentleman behind. I know what it's like. I remember the first time that our oldest daughter left to come to school to Free Hardeman. There is a sense in which we need the advice, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, as given in verse 9. And I think we can say to ourselves today, there is no reason to be afraid. There is no reason to be dismayed. When we look at the combination of the freedoms that we have in America, the opportunities that are before us in a place like Henderson, Tennessee, knowing about all the people who care, and knowing that underneath are the everlasting arms of God himself. be strong and of good courage. I suggest to you that the concept of strength here is touching on the idea of our abilities. And the concept of courage is dealing with our attitudes, a combination of ability and attitude. Strength is mentioned down through the Old Testament and the New. David had a lot to say about it, where he talked about being strong and finding his strength in the Lord. Paul emphasized to the church at 1 Corinthians 16:13, among other ideas that they needed, he said, be strong. We need that kind of strength in the Lord's work. Certainly our abilities are involved. God has given us talents, and he expects us to use those talents in his service. He has given us the ability to learn. He has given us the ability to serve. And those abilities need to be used as we stand ready to go into the next part of our life if God continues to let this earth stand. But in addition to that, there is the attitude. And you know, it's hard to overemphasize the importance of one's attitude. In fact, I would say to you that I'd rather have someone with average ability and an outstanding attitude than vice versa. And that's what he's emphasizing in this courage, is they're going in to possess the land. It's not going to be easy. They've already had the report of the spies that there are giants in the land. They have an enemy to meet. They have a land to possess. And especially in verse 11, he points out that they're going to have to put forth some effort to possess that land. But he says, have courage. Courage is involved in the word virtue. In passages like Proverbs 31, where the virtuous woman is described, he's really describing a courageous person. And I think it not by accident that the first quality that we'll see we're to add to our faith when we start talking about what we call the Christian graces is virtue. There's more involved in that concept of virtue than just morality. It's moral courage. And one only has to read the description of that virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 to see the work that she did and the attitude that she had as she reached out to take care of her family and her servants and her friends and her neighbors. Yes, one of the greatest combinations that we have when we put concepts together is this ability of strength and attitude of courage in order to possess that which lies before us. Wilson, in his dictionary of biblical terms, says, as he thinks about this statement that is made, that if you combine the idea of strength and courage, you get this concept. Explained by him in three ways. He says what's involved in the totality of this advice is boldness. Now you know and I know that we're to be humble. But humility doesn't mean to lie down and quit, and turn over and go in the other direction. We need boldness in the Lord's work. We need to be militant. Not unkind, but ready to get out there and do something. That's what we were singing a moment ago. Soldiers of Christ, arise. We're not only told to arise, but we're told what the armor is we're to wear to fight in the Lord's army. We are to be bold. We're to be ready to get out there and do the job. When you look at the book of Acts, particularly in the history of the early church, you find people who were ready to take a stand and even suffer if necessary for the cause of Christ. Wilson says the second concept in this, when you combine both of these ideas, is fearlessness, not afraid. And notice, as we've already seen, that he says, be not afraid and be not dismayed in the instructions that are given on this specific occasion. We need to be a people who know who we are, where we stand, and where we're going. If people know who they are, where they stand, and where they're going, with God's help, they're going to be successful. It's rather interesting that in this passage he mentions prosperous and success and possessive. He was not talking about a group of people that were going over there and fail. He was talking about a group of people who were going over there and do the job. They were going to be prosperous. They were going to be successful. They were going to possess the land. It's always been interesting to me that in verse 13 of this chapter, God talks about the land as though they already had it. That's just how sure this promise of God was. He said, the land that I have given thee. They'd not have obtained it yet, but he talks about it in that way, and with those terms.
that is just that sure. With God's help, our future can be that sure. Oh, there will be the difficulties. There will be the ups and downs. The children of Israel had had their bondage. They'd had their wandering in the wilderness to the extent that of the over 600,000 men above 20 in the two different numbers, 40 years apart or a little less, only two of them were in both numberings. They had lost many, many people in the wilderness. They had had trying times, and they were facing difficult times with the enemy. And yet he says, you can be successful. There's no need of being afraid. The third idea that's involved when you combine these two words of strength and courage is the idea of dedication. A resolute mind, resolved to see the job through and to do our best. Oh, we need that kind of dedication and commitment and resolution in our thinking and seen in our actions today and whatever it is that we're doing. These people were told, be strong and of good courage. When you use your abilities and have the proper attitude, he said, you can stand up with boldness, you do not have to be afraid, and you can commit yourself to the job that is before you. And in this setting, I believe he gives them three basic reasons why they ought to be able to accomplish that. Number one is the proper motivation. They had a goal before them of something that they wanted to attain. I'm not for sure that there is a one of us in this audience this morning who can be successful unless we have a motivating goal before us. Emphasizing again that we need to know where we're going. Too many people in life are not satisfied and pleased because they don't know what they want. They would not know it if they got it. We need to have the proper motivation. These children of Israel had the land that flowed with milk and honey. And some think that Henderson is modern-day Canaan. Brother Sewell says it's not long distance from here to heaven. They had the proper motivation. Whether or not it is a college education, a certain career, the development of a family, the rearing of our children, taking care of our middle years and our older years as we grow older in the beauty of holiness and live for God, whatever it is that's ahead for us, in the rest of 1992 and into the new year, if it comes, we need to have that proper motivation. We have a reason for living and being and doing. In the second place, he gave them the right guidelines. Look at verses 7 and 8. He said, whatever you do, you be sure that you do it within the boundaries of God's word. You have the law that I gave to Moses. You meditate on it day and night. Don't you turn to the right and don't you turn to the left. Today, folks, we have the law of God with us. We're in a new dispensation under the Christian law, a law that emphasizes grace and truth, a law that has guidelines that are to be understood by which we work and within which we work in the Lord's kingdom. I would certainly hate to try to present a series of lessons like the ones I mentioned a moment ago if we did not have some guidelines for our teaching. If I had to wonder what's going to be popular next week and what guidelines am I to use next month, I would not want to preach. We have a book in our midst where we do not have to wonder what God says. We can know the truth. That truth is there. That truth is to be respected. And it's to guide everything that we do. Whether it be the teaching in a pulpit or a Bible class, the benevolent work that we go out into the community to do, the mission work where we go and send, the mutual encouragement we give to one another, whatever it is, it's to be based on the guidelines of His Word. They had it as they faced Jordan. We have it as we face our Jordan. And then they had God on their side. They had the proper source of help. And that same God who said to the children of Israel in Egypt, in the wanderings, and now as they're ready to go into Canaan, I'll be with you, is the one that says through Jesus Christ in Hebrews 13, I'll be with you. Don't you ever forget it. He said it in these words, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And again, we can say with the Apostle Paul today, I can do all things, and don't put a period there, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We have today the same leadership, the same support, the same guiding hand that the children of Israel had. And our God today is interested in our reaching the final land of Canaan as much, perhaps a bit more, than he was those people reaching that physical land of Canaan. We have the proper motivation. We have the proper guidelines. We have the right source of help that comes from God, sometimes through us to one another, to find that strength that is necessary and that courage that is necessary to give us what we need to be in the army of God and to march for his kingdom. Is there any better advice than in Joshua 1? Be strong. Have your abilities in the right way. And of good courage. Have the right attitude. And put those together, and you, with God's help, have a winning combination. But I want you to notice something. It was to God's children that he was talking. And if you're not a child of God this morning, it's hard for you to line up with this approach. Because the strength and the courage and the help that is here is really for those who are in Christ and who have Christ as the head of the church and God as our Father and our leader and our support. Is it any wonder that we constantly encourage those of you that are not Christians to obey the gospel? To believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins, because we want you as a part of God's spiritual Israel today. Ready to cross over into the work of next week or whatever is ahead, and especially ready to cross over into heaven when that time comes. And also, if you're not one of his faithful Christians, need to come back and make things right through penitence, confession, and prayer. We're constantly urging you to do that, to get yourself right, to be a part of the children of God, to be ready to cross that Jordan River with strength and courage. If you are not a faithful child of God, we encourage you to have the strength and courage to come to him as together we stand and sing.